But I did say we're going to talk about sexual health. According to the latest figures from Public Health England, rates of sexually transmitted infections such as chlamydia, gonorrhea and herpes have been increasing for over a decade. But despite becoming more common, the stigma attached to having an STI still runs deep. Oh, another woman's our listener, who we're calling Sarah, got in touch to share her story. And she said, I'm in my 50s. I caught herpes from my ex-husband a number of years ago. And since then, I've struggled with feelings of total worthlessness and an overwhelming shame about my condition. So much so, I have ruled out the possibility of any future relationship which could necessitate me divulging my medical status. This self-imposed celibacy and single status has left me isolated and emotionally vulnerable. I don't think I've heard a programme discuss the issue of herpes, despite the fact it impacts on so many. There is no cure, just a treatment to ease the symptoms, and the taboo attached to it means it's not talked about. I really don't want anyone else going through this in the same way I have, feeling dirty and ashamed and isolating themselves from a possibly happy and fulfilled life. Thank you to Sarah for having the courage to get in touch and write that email. Listening to that message, Dr. Liz Foley, a consultant in sexual health and HIV medicine at Solent NHS Trust in Southampton, and Marion Nicholson, director of the charity the Herpes Viruses Association. Liz, can I start with you? Your reaction to that note?
Oh, it is absolutely heartbreaking, isn't it? It's really sad that this lady wasn't able to either engage with services, or she didn't get the care she needed at the time that would have made such a huge difference to how she felt about herself and her outcome and future relationships.
How common is herpes infection in the population as a whole and in women in particular?
Well, it is extremely common. It's a common virus. So if you look in the UK, and similar to other developed countries, 70% of the population will carry one type of the herpes virus, HSV 1 or 2, by the time they're 25. And in women, we see about 20,000 new cases each year in our clinics in England.
And are women more affected, or do we know why, or what's going on with women in this?
Well, women are more affected by it. We certainly see more women about it, where we have 20,000 new cases each year in women. There are about 12,000 cases in men. We think it's probably slightly anatomical of how it affects the mucous membranes, and that's the most likely reason that women have a greater prevalence.
And does our listener, does Sarah need to live her life like this in terms of, you know, what's the prognosis and the chances of passing it on?
Oh, not at all. And it is such a shame. I mean, obviously, the first thing that we would think about doing is to reframe some of her language around genital herpes. They are just cold sores. That's all they are. They're just cold sores in a different place. And so also, you know, if you understood, and we those of us who work in sexual health clinics spend a lot of time trying to educate people to try to normalise this, to say it is a really common virus. And lots of viruses can live in your body and not cause any trouble at all. But there's lots of things that we can do to make the difference. Certainly, for women who get frequent episodes, we can give them daily treatment, and that can suppress the virus. So not only do they not get episodes, but then it also significantly reduces that chance of passing it on to another partner. Condoms can also help. But the other thing is, we really encourage people to tell their partners, and we help them sort of find the language to try to discuss that with them. You know, for example, if you were going to say, if you're going to tell a partner that 6 months ago you had cold sores on your genitals, but you're on some treatment and you haven't had one since, it sounds so much better than saying you've got genital herpes. And in my experience, most patients who tell their partners, the partners really appreciate the honesty and the fact that they've disclosed something private, and they certainly don't run away from a relationship at that point.
Marion, thank you for that, Liz. Marion, also listening, I know that you've been on this road and you also caught herpes from a partner many years ago. What would you like to say to Sarah, who says she feels, you know, dirty and ashamed and worthless?
On the helpline from the Herpes Viruses Association, and from my own experience, a lot of us start off like this. But in my case, getting correct information, as described by Liz, absolutely transformed my life. I spent 2 years convinced I would never have sex again. Luckily, I had a really interesting job that kept me going. But once I got the facts, basically, my life turned around and I've lived totally normally ever since. we've got all sorts of statistics. You know, Liz has indicated these, but not only 70% by the age of 25, but the rate goes up so that by the age of your caller, she said she was 55, it's going to be difficult for her to find a man who could catch it from her because so many people already have it. Research in London found that if you had had seven partners in your life, you're more likely to have herpes simplex type 2 than not. So that's the kind of rate. And you can see that by the age of 55, it would be quite likely that a person could have had seven partners in their life.
Let me just very quickly, Liz, just in terms of that point that Marion was making, do you think that means people are worrying unnecessarily about passing it on?
I think they do, yes. I think it becomes a really big issue for people. And if they can just try to normalise it, we know a lot about viruses. You know, the pandemic has really taught us a lot about viruses. And we know that people can carry viruses without causing any particular trouble to them. People are fearful because, as you say, often doesn't have symptoms. And so often the manner in which they've acquired the virus themselves is from someone who didn't realise that they were carrying the virus. And so they often feel really angry because they don't understand if they're presenting with these, you know, sores and great discomfort. They can't believe that someone knew this and didn't tell them.
I was going to say, Liz, just to go back to Marion, the honesty seems very important here. Sarah's just written in, Marion, to say, I really agree with the comments here about herpes. My ex-husband caught it while playing away and gave it to me before we split up. And one of the most upsetting things is that he denied it was him because it's much less likely that men show symptoms and therefore pass it on. So he was able to deny it. Marion, that honesty, though, is what can imprison people.
It can, but we did a piece of research on our members and we found that 83% of disclosures, as they call it, work well. In other words, fewer than one in five will reject you. In fact, I've got a great story from the helpline last year. A lady told a partner, he said, I can't handle that, but I respect, thank you very much for telling me. He phoned her back 2 months later to say, I just caught it from the next woman I dated. So just reserving yourself away from that, you know, saying I won't have sex again is not going to save people from catching it. Professor Lawrence Corey, one of America's top researchers, has said most transmission occurs from the undiagnosed person. And only one in three, as Liz has said, only one in three will notice when they catch it. So if a partner were to say to you, oh dear, is it very bad? What would happen to me if I caught it? The correct answer to that is you probably wouldn't notice. Actually,
although Liz, I suppose there's a balance to be struck about not underplaying it completely. I mean, you mentioned using condoms or avoiding sex when perhaps people have an outbreak. I don't know what you would say about that, Liz.
Well, it is really important about disclosing and telling people. We do want people to tell people, but you know, we see people with herpes all the time. That they are cursors. You're walking up into high street, you see people with herpes all the time. It is a very common infection, and so it is common, and it can have bad consequences in pregnancy and other conditions like that. So we don't want to underplay it completely, but it is. Although it's not curable as such, it's very treatable and we can certainly manage the symptoms that people get.
The language not curable is something that really worries people. I like to point out that chickenpox, glandular fever and thrush are not curable either, but no one worries about them. No one tells people with facial cold sores they have to kiss through a sheet of cling film for the rest of their life. And medically, a cold sore on the face could have more complications.
So you'd point that out, I suppose, as living with this and how to live with it.
I had unprotected sex with a guy for 10 years following my, you know, once I'd got sorted out in my own head. And as far as we know, he caught nothing. He's had lots more unprotected sex with a younger woman since then. And he'd let me know if anything cropped up because he knows where I am. So by being careful, one can live a normal life.
Marion Nicholson, director of the charity the Herpes Viruses Association, and Dr. Liz Foley, a consultant in sexual health and HIV medicine at Solent NHS Trust in Southampton. We will put some helpful links, I'm sure, onto the Woman's Hour website if you need any support.